Autumn, thanks for having us on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for making the drive over.
You gave us a tour of your factory, which we'll get to in a minute. Before we even get into it, this really was strange. Why are we in front of a cage?
Well, it's drug labeling. Sunscreens are regulated as drugs, so this has to be controlled.
So you got to lock up the labels.
Exactly.
But we're not eating sunscreen.
We are not. But the FDA doesn't differentiate. Sunscreen is a drug just like Neosporin, just like insulin, because most sunscreens work inside your body. FDA doesn't differentiate between a mineral sunscreen and a chemical sunscreen, but the minerals are reflective. They don't care. They're regulated as drugs, so the FDA's in our world. They say lock up the labels. We lock up the labels.
Is it like soaking into our bodies?
Oh, yeah.
But like, it's not going into our blood. Like, if I put stink water on my skin, like, I'm not going to get stink water in me, am I?
You might. If you put a typical sunscreen on your body, within 30 minutes, oxybenzone, octocrylene, can be detected in your urine.
So I'm never putting my hand in a toilet again to fix it.
I wouldn't recommend it.
Oh my gosh.
Clothes. Wash your hands.
Yeah, we're filming in front of a live audience. Well, hold on. When we're diving, is whatever we're diving in soaking into our bodies?
Nicotine patches. You put something on your skin because it soaks into your body. Different chemicals soak into your body faster based on their molecular size. Sunscreen would be one of them.
Full disclosure, we got here and we all had to wear really awesome looking head nets, and I had to wear a beard net just to walk through.
Right.
That was embarrassing, but apparently the beanie was okay.
Yeah, the beanie's good.
Autumn, you are the owner. You started Stream to See.
Yes.
We're standing basically at ground zero here where it all comes from, which is cool. Some of the labels come from this cage. Was there a moment that inspired you to set off and do this? Or are you just like, I'm going to save the world? What triggered you to do this? Because this looks like a lot of work.
It's definitely a lot of work. I'm a cosmetic chemist. I've been formulating natural skincare for more than 25 years. I'm also an avid scuba diver. I've been diving since I probably could walk. My chore as a kid was cleaning the algae off the bottom of the pool with a pony bottle. I'm an avid diver. After I had sold my last skincare company, I was diving in Palau. Most beautiful, pristine reef I'd ever seen. It was gorgeous, and I'm coming up to my safety stop, and I saw a rainbow. I'm like, oh, how beautiful, a rainbow. And as I got closer, I realized that it wasn't a rainbow, but it was an oil slick, and it was coming off a group of snorkelers. It was their sunscreen, and it was literally a petrochemical sheen just emanating from their bodies. And that was the first time that I ever thought about how the products that I manufactured might impact not just my body, not just our own health, which is what I'd always been focused on, but the health of the environment as well. I'm looking down off the boat. I'm envisioning Nemo down there gasping for air as we're washing off on the back of the dive deck. So, you know, you get up from your dive, you peel off your wetsuit, and you use that shampoo with those pearlescent fragrant suds, and they're running right overboard. It's great that we're thinking about sunscreen as being reef safe. What about all the other stuff that we're pouring into the waters? Shampoo is actually a lot more harmful than sunscreen is.
So what about, shampoo, because most people use shampoo.
Right. Why'd
you give me a weird look down there, Becca?
Hopefully we all use shampoo.
I still don't know what conditioner does.
We can help.
This is not scripted, clearly. Jeez. I know. We are in the water a lot, like you. You're a diver.
Right.
Okay, so you saw the sheen coming off on the surface of snorkelers from their sunblock.
Exactly.
And the sheen was bad.
Right. It opened my eyes and my mind, and I started thinking about how the chemical ingredients that are in common products can impact not just us, but the aquatic environment. Now, that's before everybody's talking about reef safe, before the studies had come out showing that common sunscreen ingredients are toxic to coral. I came back from that trip. I had written my business plan by the time I got home. It's a really long flight home.
From Palau.
I came home. I quit my job. I started formulating Stream to See. In order to make a product that I'm going to say is reef safe and biodegradable, I had to do some testing. I knew how to make something that's not gonna hurt my dogs, it's not gonna hurt you, that's not gonna hurt. No. I know how to make something that's not gonna hurt us. How do you make something that's not going to hurt the environment? There's no history out there, there's no testing, there's no Maybelline's 50 years of experience with these different ingredients. It didn't exist. I reached out to a lot of different aquatic toxicity labs, and I eventually ended up at my alma mater, which is Eckerd College. And we did a full range of aquatic safety testing on all of the different ingredients. My first formulas completely failed. Things that were EcoCert compliant, Whole Foods compatible. I failed aquatic safety testing. What if I hadn't done that testing? I think about that.
And that's how you started?
Correct.
Okay, so you did the research, you did the testing.
Yeah.
Did you ever test stuff and go, oh, this is never going to work. Like, I'm not going to be able to do this.
I thought it was going to be a lot harder to convince people that what we put on our bodies actually can make a difference for our environment. It was fortuitous that right after we had finished our coral larva studies at Moat Marine's Tropical Research Station, right after we finished those trials, there were several studies that were published showing that common chemical sunscreen ingredients were in fact toxic to coral and coral larva. So it was really good timing on that part. People get it, they understand, especially divers. I'm a diver, but diving wasn't my intended market. But I didn't really think that was gonna be our bread and butter. I thought it was gonna be the health food industry. That's been my background. That's where I've spent all of my career.
Did you go into the health food at all?
Yeah, okay. We do sell to Whole Foods. There's quite a few health food stores out there, natural product centers that carry our products. But really the dive industry is what's gotten behind us. They're the educators of the sea and they've spread the word. Even to other places, like we sell to natural pharmacies, gift centers, basically any place where the buyer is eco-conscious and we get a chance to explain what's different about our products, we sell there. But yeah. The divers taught the world.
So your distribution really is, and I've always said that dive shops are the access point.
They are,
in general. Independent instructors as well.
But, definitely.
And I go in, I don't know if I've been into a dive shop where I haven't seen Stream to Sea.
Awesome.
And I've seen some other ones come and go, yeah. But some of the other ones kind of, it sounds to me like they didn't do their due diligence. You really did test your products. We actually got to see some of these mad scientist contraptions a minute ago. You really do vet your stuff.
You bet.
Was there ever a time where you put a product out and then you start hearing about a like negative feedback?
No, we've gotten very, very minimal negative feedback on that side. The negative feedback that we have gotten is from misapplication. Typically, somebody will say, I look like Casper the Friendly Ghost when I use your sunscreen. And I'm like, yep, you put on enough for you, me, and four other people too. It's different. You have to teach somebody how to apply our products differently.
What's one thing, if you could get out to everybody,
yeah.
that you see people actually doing wrong?
Right.
That you would love to just, hey, just do this.
So you want to apply in sections. But when you take your tube, if you squirt out a whole bunch at once, you're in trouble. Just a little bit at a time, do your face, dab it around, blend. Then a little bit more, do your chest. A little bit more, do your arms. If you put a big glob right here, it's all gonna stay right there. It's not like the sunscreens that maybe we grew up with where you can put a bunch on here, rub it over here, keep on going in here, I've got too much, I'm gonna put it on you, honey, right? You can't do that with a mineral sunscreen.
So it's like people are kind of making it white mud.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, it's basically chalk in a lotion format.
Really?
Right? So you think, pretty much, I mean, it's the minerals. So you've got titanium and zinc, non-nano titanium dioxide, non-nano zinc oxide, which is a coarse mineral. It's my job to put into something that's going to spread and blend well.
Wait, so you're saying that sunscreen is basically chalk?
Good sunscreen is.
Hey, you're the expert.
No, that's the minerals, right? So you've got the minerals in there instead of the chemical organic compounds that spread and blend really well. The minerals are a little bit trickier. You have to apply them differently.
I believe everything you just said, although I didn't fully understand it.
So some of the ingredients that are in cosmetics can be microplastics. Some of them can be endocrine disruptors. That means it screws with your hormones. Preservatives that are in there. Preservatives are the harshest things that are typically in cosmetics or skincare products. Fragrances. There's all these different things that you want to look out for that keeps me up at night. I look out for them.
Now I'm paranoid of everything.
You should be.
We have to leave.
We can talk. Let's talk about endocrine disruptors.
No,
let's talk about screwing up with hormones.
I believe you.
Yeah, no.
We'll leave it at that. So Defog's the big boy on the block in the dive shop.
Yes.
I've seen arguments where everybody will tell you the best possible defog. No, it's not spit. So it's not spit, people. Some people have gooey spit and it works good. I think a lot of people just like to be like, spit, it sounds very, I'm a salty diver. It doesn't work as good.
Not for me.
There is a reason there are 20 different defogs in a big dive shop.
Yes.
But only one of them, obviously, is completely safe to use for the environment.
Yep.
First of all, does it actually work as good as the other ones?
I think it works better. It's our number one seller now.
So defog.
Yeah, defog. Defog is our number one seller.
Now, do you think a lot of it has to do with how people prep it?
Prepping your mask is important. The lens comes off with that film on it.
When you first get it,
and that film will fog. So you have to get that off. We do have a mask prep kit. What do you typically use to scrub your mask? I mean, you can flame it. You can burn your mask. I'm not good at it.
And you miss little edges, too.
I'm not good at it. So
it's fun.
You scrub it, right? Yeah. You get a scrub. I mean, I always use original white toothpaste, and I would just sit there in front of the TV and rub, 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 rub. Well, then I read the ingredients, and I don't like to use things with fluoride anymore because that's considered a toxin. Sodium lauryl and laureth sulfate, those are the surfactants that are used in most toothpaste. They're also ecotoxins.
So you're finally pronouncing these things that I've read on the back of shampoo 1,000 times.
That's my job.
Yeah. Like, right. Oh, that's how you say it.
We have a mass scrub that's got that similar abrasive in there without any ecotoxins.
So you have everything from prepping your mask when you first get it that gets missed a lot. Most people don't know about that.
Right.
And then you have the actual defog.
Yep.
And you're saying that's your number one seller.
It is.
I've seen it in every dive shop. And defog seems to be a strangely competitive market.
Yeah.
In every dive shop. And I've been sent many defog samples.
Right.
I get them all the time and I try them. And, you know, I know how to prep it and everything. And a lot of them, either it burned my eyes or it just didn't work. Or the lids come off easy. Mm-hmm. Or there's a lot of stuff. Everything works fine in an air-conditioned room.
Right.
It's on a rocking boat when you're trying to find it. Hey, can you toss me?
Yeah, you know, that little dust cap rolling overboard.
Oh, yeah. The little... Uh-uh. So, yeah, it's more than just the defog. It's the packaging. That is a strangely contentious little thing. Anytime I put my favorite defog or even mention defog, half my comment section is arguments of what's the better defog.
Yeah.
You think yours is the best.
Yes.
Even if they're the same, yours still has an advantage, and that is that it doesn't pollute. What is not in it that's in the other ones?
So most defogs don't list their ingredients. So I can't tell you because I don't know what's in their defog. We do list our ingredients. It's on our website, the bottle's little. It's basically very similar to our shampoo. We use the same ingredients because those are tested and proven safe. I did add a small amount of alcohol to help it evaporate from the lens. It's not enough to burn your eyes. And I removed the fragrances. I removed the hair conditioning ingredients and it works brilliantly. I did thicken it up a little bit more as well. So it's not the exact same formula, but it's very similar. The little plastic bottle is actually made from ocean-bound plastics, which means that we're taking plastics and we're moving them from the ocean, removing them from coastal communities and giving them a second life.
We've used it in many places with a lot of people and it works very well.
Right, so I'm a rebreather diver.
I mean, little flex. Yeah. How do you find a tech diver, everyone?
They'll tell you. Right. Yep. Okay. So I am a tech diver. Right. So rebreather diver, you spend 45 minutes to 3.5 hours underwater. I would always fog. And especially with different temperatures, you know, you're breathing the warm, moist air. That's one of the selling points of a rebreather, warm, moist air. It's awesome.
So you're saying moist is a selling point?
Totally.
Somebody cringed.
So I dove moist. Why do people not like the word moist? Huh?
I'm not sure.
Warm, moist air, I think, makes your mask fog more. So I always struggled with foggy mask until I made my own, and I don't fog anymore.
And your own is now the best one we've used so far, and the only one that lists their ingredients because it's like food.
Right? When I launched Defog, so most of my sales team, they focus on other markets. But most of my team isn't in the dive industry. They're like, really? Mass Defog? Come on, Autumn. You're launching a Mass Defog. I'm like, well,
it's
I need it.
It's a hot potato.
It is now our best seller.
Hot tamale. Everyone's going to go, well, I just use baby shampoo.
Yeah, sure.
Now, I've had issues with baby shampoo. It comes off. It gets everywhere. It also bubbles up. I've had it like start getting real bubbly in my mask.
Yeah.
It does work. It's good for a pinch, but I found it to be a little on the thin side.
Right.
And I don't know what it is about the packaging, but it always ends up in my dive bag. Now it doesn't smell bad.
Right.
Is this better than baby shampoo?
Yeah. So I've got two issues with baby shampoo and the way especially dive centers use it on the boat. The first one is the ingredients that are in baby shampoo quite often are aquatic toxins. We have these little ingredient to avoid cards, so you don't have to memorize these words, but sodium lauryl and laureth sulfate, and then the DEAs, loramide DEA, meta DEA, those are on the back. Those ingredients are aquatic toxins. If you want to go into an ecotox lab and find something that's going to kill every fish in the tank, use those. So baby shampoo, if you were to take a tank of fish and put one drop of baby shampoo in there and come back 24 hours later, my money's on the fact they're all going to be dead. I don't want to use it. One drop will kill them. So that's number one.
Yeah.
Number two reason why I don't think they should be using the spray bottle with the defog is how often is that bottle cleaned? So you've got this 32-ounce bottle or 16-ounce bottle that you put this much shampoo in the bottom, and this much shampoo is preserved. It's preserved for this much material. Now you fill it up with water, give it a good shake. There's no preservative in this bottle now, and it's hanging out in this warm, moist environment that's being squirted over and over and over again. You think it ever gets cleaned?
So a lot of places that say they're reef safe are not?
They don't know. If you haven't done any testing, how do you know? They don't have a chemist on staff, the majority of them. They're branding companies. They're really good at packaging. They're really good at marketing.
I'm thinking they also don't make you wear a beard.
Right. Well, they don't make their products. They go to one of four major manufacturers in the United States that make sunscreen. When I first started Stream to Sea, I didn't want to be a manufacturer again. And I'm going to let somebody else make it, and I'm going to go diving. I went to the contract manufacturer. I sent my products off for analytical testing, contaminant testing. Guess what was in them? Contaminants. I was really mad about this. So oxybenzone was in my product. Parabens were in my product that I was having made at another facility. There wasn't enough to actually do the job, so it wasn't intentionally added, but it was cross-contamination. I went to another facility, same thing. there was a massive study that was published showing all of this cross-contamination within all of these sunscreens, including mineral sunscreens. Because there's a couple of major manufacturers, it does most of it out there. Because the FDA is hard to deal with. It's not easy.
They make you even lock your labels.
There's a lot of rules that you have to follow. I was either going to have to stop making my products, or I needed to build a manufacturing facility and just not allow those ingredients in my building so they don't come through my doors. No cross-contamination here.
Well, I saw you making it, and honestly, your factory seemed more like a bakery. He even had the white stuff going into this. It seemed like a bakery, and this was because I haven't really been in many factories, and it also had a Wonka vibe going on in there. I mean, I was waiting for the little gobstoppers to come out of that machine.
We sing and dance sometimes.
We'll hold you to that at the end of this video. Obviously, as a business owner, you're trying a lot of different things, especially in startup, right?
Sure.
What did you try that you really didn't think was going to be a big deal that ended up being huge?
That's mass defog. Hands down, mass defog. If I make a product in the lab, I make it for me. I use it. If I want more when my sample runs out, that's when I think about adding it to our line. So deodorant, I recently made a deodorant. I've made two samples and I'm out again. If I have to make more twice in the lab, that means that I probably want to put it in my line.
Is this deodorant?
That's defog.
That's defog. So here, boom, boom, boom. That's what you want.
Hey, so can I tell you a negative about what you just did?
No.
It's not bad. I mean, it's not horrible. It's a positive and a negative. This little cap here is made from 100% PCR, post-consumer recycled content. It's ocean-bound plastic. Ocean-bound plastic is a little bit more brittle than standard virgin plastic. So when you flip it, if you do that like 200 times, this little hinge here eventually breaks. It's a defect, but it's one that I think I'm okay with because it's not virgin plastic. The only way to fix it is to use virgin plastic, and I'm not doing that. So if that breaks off, just pop it back on. It'll be fine.
The defog was something you didn't expect to take off, and it did. I mean, that's how we found you.
Yeah.
I mean, every diver has defog.
Right.
Or they're the diver that doesn't. It's like the person with no pen and paper every day in school.
Yeah,
no wax, surfing. You know, there's always have defog people. This has nothing to do with the interview, but man, that's a pet peeve. Do you happen to have some defog? You were telling me that these are going to Palau. What is this little line right here for?
That is for the Palau Pledge. So before you're allowed in the country of Palau, you have to sign a pledge saying that you will be an environmental steward. You will take good care of their country, their waters, while you're there.
Wait, anybody that goes in?
Anybody. If you go to Palau, you are going to sign the Palau Pledge as part of your passport. And if you're going to visit, be a tourist, be a guest of Palau, you have to agree to their pledge. And part of it is using safe sunscreen. And we are the official sunscreen of the Palau Pledge.
So did you get to go to Palau for this?
I was, again, Stream to Sea was born in Palau. Was diving in Palau and saw that oil slick coming off the snorkelers and developed the product, came back, tested it. I shared it with Palau. And when they were working on the pledge, they decided they wanted to collaborate and were honored to do so.
Do they need me to collaborate with anything?
Yeah, maybe. They might need some footage over there. You should be using non-nano titanium dioxide, non-nano zinc oxide only. Only use those two.
Well, the nice dive shops do have Stream to Sea.
I love that.
I noticed something. I've interviewed a few successful dive shops, and they all have it.
That's awesome.
That seems to be a common denominator. It's like, you know, the nice gas stations don't have to ask for a key.
So let me share one other thing on dive centers. I've had a couple of them that will say, I'll carry Stream to Sea if you don't sell it to Bob's Dive Shop next door.
Oh, yeah.
And we actually have some serious dive centers out there that they work hard to educate their competitors, which in my opinion, it becomes co-opetition at that point, to carry our products as well. And that's, I mean, it gives me goosebumps when I think about it. They help us grow.
You just hit the nail on the head. We've interviewed a lot of dive shops that said the successful dive shops are the ones that do not see the other dive shops as competition.
Yeah.
Think about this. CVS and Walgreens are right across from each other and they do better. And it's not even that bad. Like, I had a dive shop. I know people don't go there to buy that. They go there to get their dive thing and then they buy it.
Exactly.
There is no downside to having it. That is bad practice.
Yeah. Our customers walk in and they like seeing it there. I mean, everybody wants to be green. Everybody wants to be blue. And it's just another feather in your cap saying we support eco-friendly products as well. People are seeking it out. They want blue, sustainable dive centers to partner with.
You mentioned that you could put some baby shampoo into an aquarium of fish, come back a day later, and they're all going to be dead.
Yeah.
Or probably.
Yep.
Now, you listed all the chemicals that you don't have. The other ones do. Yeah. I actually don't remember the names of any of them, but I trust you. Tell me what happens when you're using those bad chemicals. Is this like, oh, it's bad, but at the end of the day, we're really not going to see any difference? Or what happens?
Yeah. Okay, so sunscreen pollution is a symptom of unsustainable tourism. Science has shown us that 62 parts per trillion is the amount that will prevent coral larvae from replicating. How much is 62 parts per trillion? Hard to visualize. One drop in 6 Olympic-sized swimming pools. If you have one drop of benzophenone in 6 swimming pools, if the coral spawns, nothing's going to happen. It's not going to replicate. What happens if it doesn't replicate? It dies. That's one issue. The other one is that exposure to sunscreen has shown that healthy coral will bleach at a lower temperature. So right now, what's happening? Our waters are too hot. If there's sunscreen in those waters, they will bleach at an even cooler temperature. So normal healthy coral, let's say it might be 87 degrees. If there's a lot of chemical sunscreen in the waters, it might be 85 degrees. So it makes a bad problem worse.
This is huge in the Keys. Yeah, it's all little shallow spots and everyone kind of congregates there. Okay, say that again, because that was interesting. You said one drop
in 6 Olympic-sized swimming pools.
And this is a chemical in sunscreen.
It's a chemical that's in most chemical-based sunscreens.
And you said it's benzopheromones? I know that's off.
Benzophenone.
Okay.
Oxybenzone or benzophenone.
Yeah. Okay, so Oxycontin, benzonone.
Right, that one.
One drop of that in how many Olympic-sized swimming pools?
Six. That's that pollution-dilution ratio that they figured out in the labs. And it's published in multiple studies that that's the amount that it takes for coral larvae to not replicate.
Oof.
Yeah, bad
That's
news.
Brutal.
Bad news. So keep it up. There's no reason to use it. Just get it out of our waters.
Buy stream to sea.
That's what I say. Buy stream to sea. Thank you.
So you started in 2015.
Yep.
Then you built this Wonka factory, which is amazing,
in
2019.
Right.
Now, whenever I hear 2019, I think before.
Right.
So you opened in 2019 and then...
COVID. So we had just landed a bunch of cruise lines. I'm so excited. Like Richard Branson endorsed our sunscreen. We're blowing up. We're going nuts. COVID hits. Richard Branson's not buying any sunscreen, right?
And the cruise lines are stopped. Done.
Nobody's going anywhere. I have tons of inventory. I have a new factory. I have employees. What do? You make sanitizer. I called the alcohol, tobacco. I went to get my alcohol license.
Tobacco, and firearms.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
Those guys. Pre-COVID, it would have taken me about 9 months to get a sanitizer on the market legally. I called, and this is one area where the government actually helped. During COVID, I called and said, hey, I have an OTC manufacturing facility, and I want to make sanitizer legally. How do I do it? They said, we've been waiting for you. They walked me through the process. It took 6 days to get our sanitizer registered, get our license, and we started shipping right away. So I was able to secure a sustainable source of orange ethanol. So it was alcohol from orange peels, because we're in Central Florida and there was an orange juice factory down the road. They're vertically integrated. They ferment their peels. They normally sell to rum companies. And I was able to get a sustainable source when nobody's supplying alcohol. And we started making hand sanitizer. And we just pumped that stuff out. Everybody's having staycations and we were working our rear ends off. We were helping the local community. We supplied to the hospitals. We supplied to all of the emergency responders, and then we started supplying to our friends.
You actually made hand sanitizer during COVID, saved your business with orange peels?
Orange peels.
Get out of here.
Orange peels, right? Vertically integrated. It was awesome.
And that allowed you to push through?
That's it.
And here we are now.
500,000 bottles of sanitizer went out our doors. It saved our rear ends, kept us rolling, and now we're making sunscreen again. We're still supplying sanitizer. It's no microplastics in it. Sanitizer gel has microplastics. Don't buy it.
Also that. I was going to make a joke about turning lemons into lemonade, but you did it with oranges, so nicely done.
I like it. Thank
orange
you.
Juice tastes better anyways.
It does, totally.
Good job on that. I am glad you told me that story. What do you do for fun when you're not making mad scientist experiments?
I'm driving to the ocean.
You're diving.
I'm diving.
And you said you're a rebreather diver. You dive all over the place, obviously.
Everywhere I can.
What's your recreational cert? Do you dive professionally?
I'm an MSDT, but I'm not practicing.
Okay, so you were an instructor.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, cool. Okay. You taught. You rebreathe. Yeah. So you really do live and breathe this stuff.
Right on. The ocean's my place.
Autumn, thanks for doing this.
I appreciate it.
If you want to support my channel, go to sweetwaterscuba.com. We have all the good stuff, like the shirts, the hats, the stickers, everything. Autographed kids' books are on there, and wholesale opportunities for retailers. Don't forget, we're on almost every major channel. Put out daily content, new stuff all the time. I'm on live all the time, so hopefully I'll see you on either TikTok, Kenny_Dial, Instagram, Sweetwater_Scuba, Facebook, just search me, or just search me in your browser, Kenny Dial. One of those should come up. Finally, the YouTube channel has all the podcasts and all of the short form stuff. It actually kind of has everything in one spot. Either way, I hope to see you on one of these apps, on one of these pages. Whatever connects us to the underwater world, I hope to see you there. Let's show the rest of the world.